Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, in the studio again today, we welcome back Jan Peterzelka, Master Gardener and President of the El Paso Master Gardeners Association. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Norma. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, in case you missed last week's show, Jan was here and we were talking about herb gardening and small spaces and about the vegetable gardening workshop that's actually happening today on the east side. But we're continuing our conversation with some more conversations about container gardening. And let's talk a little bit maybe about container gardening with tomatoes. And that's something I tried a few years ago. And I had a cherry tomato plant and then I had a regular tomato plant. That tomato plant didn't do so well. The cherry tomatoes did great. But I was surprised at how much success I had growing tomatoes in a pot because I never thought I could grow anything I could eat.
Right. Absolutely. And you can do that, Norma. It's anything that you can grow in the ground, you can grow in a container as long as you've got good drainage and some good soil. Tomatoes get quite large and you need to consider the size of the plant when it matures rather than what it looks like when you bring it home or when you've propagated it from seed. They're quite small, but all of a sudden they're 6 feet tall. So there's some different considerations that you have to take into your planning phase when you plant tomatoes in containers. But it's great for mobility and portability as well. So you can move that plant around and make sure that it's getting enough sun. Make sure that you have a nice large pot. About 20 to 22 inches is a really good size for tomatoes.
And I would think also planting in a container, and this I would think goes for anything that you put in a container, vegetable, annual, perennial, whatever, is that it would require a little bit more water than you would if you were to plant it in the ground.
Consistent watering with tomatoes wherever you plant them is very, very important. Sometimes your tomatoes will get a little black spot on the end. It's called blossom end rot, and that happens usually because of inconsistent watering. But you can set up an irrigation system in your pots as well as you do it in the soil. Good quality soil is really, really important. Tomatoes are heavy feeders. They rob the soil of nutrients. So a good quality potting soil is very, very important. It doesn't have to be the most expensive, but make sure that it is a good quality soil. And I recommend always dampening your soil with a mixture of just a squirt or so of a dish soap and a gallon of water. It acts as a surfactant and makes that soil really be able to distribute the moisture. And then you're establishing your plant in a really good, moist, consistently moist environment. So that's an important thing to do as well.
And if anybody's ever grown a tomato plant, you kind of see that it grows almost daily. You'll start seeing all of these different sprouts coming up. It'll flower one day and then be setting fruit before you know it. And one of the disadvantages of having tomatoes, especially tomatoes in containers or any other vegetable, is the fact is because they grow so rapidly and because they're going to be taking up so much water and you have this light that you need for the plants to grow, you're going to have them in full sun. They're going to dry out much more quicker. And when they're in the ground, they have that soil that acts as a buffer to buffer those temperatures. Well, you don't have that necessarily when you have that sun beating down on that side of that pot, especially where there's no insulation and you're about half an inch at least, you know, of just direct solar radiation. So keeping up that irrigation is going to be one of the biggest challenges to be able to get that. You can avoid that by doing a pot-in-pot system where you have a nice decorative pot on the outside and then your working pot on the inside. That's going to buffer soil extremes. But yeah, there's a lot of great ways to be able to support and even trellis your plants to keep them growing, because a lot of tomatoes are going to be, if they're the indeterminate tomatoes, they're going to keep on growing. You're going to need to have some support on there, and a great tomato cage is a way to get there.
And you can find those pretty cheap at any garden center, right?
Yeah, they're available. And I think another thing about the watering, we tend to sprinkle the top of a pot because we look at a pot and say, oh, this plant is really, really dry, when in fact it may not be. Your finger or a number two pencil is a great water gauge. You can push that down into the ground, into the soil of the pot. And if it comes up dry, then yes, your plant needs water. But again, if you start with a good moist environment, that helps things to get off to a good start. But make sure that you're not just basing the water need on the top soil. soil that you see. And that's where a good mulch really comes in, is very important as well, because that helps to keep the moisture in that pot. And the cooler pots, as Denise mentioned, a pot in a pot is really a good idea, because it keeps the root ball of your tomato a little cooler and helps to maintain the moisture as well. Just don't forget the drainage.
Yeah, and I would think also, because you have a plant in a pot, again, this goes for pretty much everything you put in a pot, that all the nutrients also tend to drain out a lot quicker than they would in the soil. So you'd probably need to fertilize more.
Yeah, you would need to usually do a fertigation, which is where you're using a water-soluble fertilizer a little bit more often than you would, just because of the fast growth habit of the vegetables. They're going to be using and depleting a lot of those nutrients in there. So putting that slow-release fertilizer, those little granular things that you would either sprinkle on top of the soil or mix it into your potting soil, is a great way to get a long-term fertilizer to your plants. But you're going to have to supplement that with that water soluble fertilizer. It comes in like little either packets or it's like usually greenish blue crystals that you dissolve in mm-hmm. your watering can.
And I think it's important to realize too, when you do apply the fertilizer on your vegetables, follow the directions carefully. More is not better. You can burn your plants, and then, again, you've created a disaster rather than a success. And we want you to be successful in your gardening.
Yeah, we have to remember that fertilizers are chemicals.
Absolutely.
And too many chemicals can cause a lot of damage. So always read the directions. And you were talking, Denise, earlier about how the plants in a pot, tomatoes in a pot, can display stress a lot easier. And I remember when I was growing my tomatoes that, you know, I would leave one morning and the plants would look fine, and I'd come back in the afternoon and they would be completely wilted. And then I'd give them water, and then within maybe just a few hours, boom, they'd be back up to normal.
Right, exactly. Plant physiologists will study this all the time about midday wilt. And it's okay. I mean, we tend to see that if your plants are wilting towards the middle of the day where that heat is coming up, they'll revive really quickly if you give them some supplemental water. The big warning, red flag, danger is when your plants in early day are wilting. They're approaching what's called a permanent wilting point where there's no way for them to really bounce back. So yeah, definitely you need to be the good scout in your garden and keep an eye on that. A lot of times if you tend to do like sub-irrigation, people think sometimes putting in a saucer and letting them sit in water to take that up. Well, that can have more negative effects than benefits as well, because then you'll start, you know, just rotting those roots in there. So make sure that you always do that top watering on there. If you have a saucer, don't let it sit there for more than half an hour before you drain that saucer away.
And I know that the weather will be getting very warm here shortly, but in the middle of the summer, when these tomato plants are probably still putting out flowers, you're probably not going to be seeing any tomatoes themselves. You're just going to be seeing a lot of flowers. I know we've gotten some calls about that in the past on our program. My tomato plant is flowering, but why do I not see any tomatoes?
Exactly. It's a very common question. And one of the things that I recommend is you'll see tomato plants in the big box stores and in the nurseries in the middle of the summer. That's not the time to plant them. You will get big, beautiful plants, maybe some blossoms, but it's too hot to set fruit. So we've been planting a little bit earlier in the last couple of years. But with all the climate change that we've had, the freeze date, the last freeze date, which normally is April the 15th, is actually getting bumped up a little bit. Is that not correct, Denise?
So as far as the freeze date, you just look at all these different textbooks and publications, and you'll see that sometimes they loop us in with a last freeze date of March 30th or April 15th. So it's kind of a hit or miss. It should be April 15th tax day on that, and that's over historical data. But really, it depends on how much risk you want to take as a gardener. And for us, we always recommend to be a little bit more risky when it comes to tomatoes, because you really are not going to be in a big risk to be able to lose your entire crop on that. Earlier is a little bit better for them. Definitely this last week in March is a wonderful time to get your tomatoes in the ground before that heat sets up. But it's not so much the case for all the others. Chili, which is another really popular backyard, that summer vegetable is likes the soil temperatures to be a little bit warmer. So you can go ahead and fast forward and plant your chili about 3 more weeks out, maybe even up to a month later from now. You don't want to plant them directly by seed. You want to get those transplants in there, but they'll definitely benefit from a warmer soil temperature, or else what they'll do is they'll kind of sit there and not really do anything for the entire season. They'll kind of always be behind the curve. Vines, summer vines, your squashes, your cantaloupe, tomato, cucumbers, you can certainly plant those directly by seed. And it's always important to look at the back of the packet to see the days to harvest. And that's going to tell you that from the day that you put in your plant, your seed into the ground, to the day you'll get your first crop on that. And don't feel that you have to put them all in at the same day. Space them apart every 2 weeks or 10 days or so. And then that way you can ensure, you know, a continuous harvest throughout the season.
The end of March, April, and early May are really good dates to plant those, the things that you direct sow into your garden. And you can direct sow those squash seeds and those cucumber seeds into your pots as well. But again, I recommend a bigger container with good drainage, good soil, and you're going to need to provide some sort of support because those do vine and climb, and it's just really a lot of fun to watch them. As Denise said, these things almost grow under your nose from day to day, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like you've got a vine that you could climb up to, and the next thing you know, you've got cucumbers and squash that are growing off of that. But that fruit is heavy, so you need to be able to have the support so that until they're ready to harvest.
So we have a couple of minutes left, and I know anybody who's ever seen a vegetable catalog, seed catalog, or even just gone into the store and which tomato do I get? And their mind is sort of blown by all the varieties. Are there any varieties that you particularly enjoy, whether they're tomatoes or peppers or squash?
Well, I think in the tomato category, we have a list of recommended tomato varieties. It's on our website. You can go in there and run that off. Celebrity, Early Girls, Champions, the one of the new ones that everybody is just crazy about, and it's a Texas...
The Tycoon?
The Tycoon is, but they call it, it's a master performer. We've had really good success, and we as well have had that success, and so that's a great tomato to plant. Patio tomatoes do really well along, and of course those cherries that you were talking about. Shirley's Orange is a great one, and you get a really great harvest with a wonderful flavor.
Juliet, which is not a traditional round cherry tomato, but a more of a mini Roma tomato, if you will. It's
sort
about
of oval egg shape.
An oval egg shape, yes, exactly. Maybe about 2.5 inches long, but it's a really great sweet tomato. It's very, very, very heavy, yielding plant. You can choose anything as far as the chilies will grow. Your habaneros are a little different family, if you will. So they may not get as many fruits as more of the jalapenos or the serrano chilies would get. For smaller spaces and looking at cucumbers and melons, pick the refrigerator type or the mini pickling cucumbers because they'll be smaller in size for them to be harvested, and they won't put so much weight on your trellis. Or even you can use a tomato cage on a cucumber plant. It's not a big deal. It's just a matter to support them and to get those tendrils to kind of attach themselves to the cage itself. So it's all about selecting the right vegetable for, first of all, what you want to eat, but also for your space consideration and your container that you choose to plant them in.
Well, if you have any questions for the Master Gardeners about vegetables, about container gardens, you can give them a call at 566-1276, 566-1276. And Jan Petrzelka, the president of the El Paso Master Gardeners Association, it's been terrific having you in the studio again.
Well, thank you so much, Norma. It really is a joy to share this passion.
I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.